Just before Jesus begins his public ministry, John the Baptist appears, calling people to mend their ways and speaking of a powerful one who is to come. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the third chapter. Matthew writes, "In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.' This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, 'The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for his baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is more powerful than I, and I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. Be seated. Like clockwork, every Advent we have to go past John the Baptist to get to Jesus. When we're driving along, we're making good time, we're gathering speed, we finally get to the top of the hill and we look across the ridge and we see sparks twirling up in the sky. And when we reach the very top of the hill, we look down and we can see where those sparks are coming from. You guessed it, John the Baptizer, hopping mad, preaching in front of a bonfire with a pitchfork in one hand and an axe in the other. JTB, John the Baptist, TCB, he's taking care of business. And old John is the last person most of us want to see. Some of us have gone to great lengths to avoid him, leaving the abusive churches of our childhoods, switching off our radios when the gospel preacher comes on, turning our heads the other way when we pass those signs along the highway that say turn or burn. It's not a message most of us flock to hear. And over the years, that hellfire and damnation brand of Christianity has been used to threaten us, scold us, punish us, scare us out of hell by scaring the hell out of us. Most of us don't want anything to do with that type of Christianity anymore. But there is no getting around John the Baptizer, especially in Advent. He is God's appointed messenger sent to prepare the way of the Lord. You can't get to Christmas until you go through Advent, and you can't go through Advent until you deal with John. John reminds us that the one who is coming is not coming to host a tea party. He's coming to chop and burn. He's coming to cut a narrow path through the world, separating the trees that bear good fruit from the trees that bear dead wood. He's coming to judge the world. He is coming to determine who is on the side of life and who is not, and to dispatch those who are not so that he and the good fruit folks can get on with the business of feeding a starving world. It's not that he hates the dead wood. It's not that he's out to get them. There's simply no life in them for the Lord of life to reach. They are in the way. So he will cut and bundle and burn. He will judge between those who are on the way and those who are in the way. I don't know many folks who like this concept of judgment. Do you? One of the most frightening things about John the Baptizer's vision of judgment is this unquenchable fire of his. And it's not possible to live in the Bible Belt without a vivid image of hell. It's usually more vivid than any image we have of heaven. More than a burning, cleansing fire, judgment is always about being known all the way down. Judgment is about the total failure of our defense, the abject poverty of our pretensions. Judgment is about stepping into the light so that every nook and cranny of our being is illuminated for examination. Judgment is about standing before God without our armor, without our masks, without our possessions and our excuses, with nothing but our beating hearts waiting to hear God's true word about ourselves. It is about fire and judgment. We know it is coming, and we fear it. We want so much to be known, really known, and to have the truth about ourselves finally understood and told. And we fear so much being known, really known, and having the truth about ourselves told. Maybe the only people who look forward to judgment are those who have no doubts about their own goodness. I don't know any people like that, so I can't say. It seems important to remember that our salvation depends finally not on our goodness, but on the goodness of the judge. This judge is not some stranger. He's a savior. He's a savior of life who has promised his presence, his help, his love, so that all those who believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John the Baptizer did not know that part yet. We know a little more than John knew at that time because he had not yet met the Lord whose way he was preparing. And interesting, once John had met Jesus, John had doubts about him because this Messiah turned out to be much more gentle and loving than John had expected, so much more willing to forgive. We can refuse this judge, of course. We can fail to believe in him, or we can fear him, or we can run away from him. One thing you can say for sure about judgment is that it will have far less to do with who we are than who God is. And if we can face the prospect of it with our eyes wide open, it's not because we are confident in our own goodness, but because we are confident in God's goodness. Jesus promises judgment. John the Baptizer was getting us ready for that judgment. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. This is one of those classic bad news, good news situations. The bad news is that Jesus will judge us. The good news is that our judge is Jesus. Amen.